For our scripture reading this morning, we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis, chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took themselves wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, then the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a man, a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it off. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the heights of it 30 cubits. The window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus far God's precious word. Dear congregation, children and young people, in a time of lockdown, we all need from time to time to go outside and to take a walk. Not only does walking help us to clear our minds, when we walk with others, we have time to share our thoughts. We walk with others because it makes life so much more enjoyable. I think we all know by now how difficult it can be when we can't normally meet with people. God made us such that we interact with others for a good reason. Walking with someone else can be a real blessing when you, especially when you go through times of difficulty and trial in your life. It's a blessing when someone comes alongside and listens to you and asks questions and comes with encouraging words and helps you to understand something you didn't perhaps before understand. Walking brings us always from one place to the next. Sometimes that's physically true, and other times it's also mentally true. It brings us from one place to the next. It moves us onward. All these things can happen when we go for a walk. In our text this morning, we meet Noah. And Noah's life was a very special walk. He was accompanied. Think about it. He was accompanied by the living God for his entire life. By God himself, the God of heaven and earth, the God of all glory, the God whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's discover what it meant when Noah learned to walk with God. And may we also learn it more in a deeper way this morning. Let us see how he walked with God and where this walk led him. We have as our text this morning, Genesis 6, verse 9b. I read the entire text here. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, it says here, that's our text and our focus. And Noah walked with God. Well, our theme is then Noah walked with God. What does it mean? First of all, he received grace in a godless society. Secondly, he was obedient in a disobedient society. Thirdly, he preached righteousness in an unrighteous society. And finally, he practiced faith in a renewed world. Now, children, when you walk in a park, that's enjoyable. But Noah's walk with God was not a walk in the park. It was not a walk in paradise as Adam had. That glorious paradise. That's what we see. And it's evident from verse 5 here. Because there we see God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was outside of paradise. He walked with God outside of paradise. And yet, when we think about Noah walking with God, there is something about paradise that enters, re-enters the heart, that something that is restored, that we lost there so deeply, so desperately in paradise, that the beautiful relationship with God, that is being restored when we walk like Noah with God. In Noah's days, society was so bad that, and we have heard it not too long ago, that God was really looking down and he was deeply grieved with what he saw. What will he see when he looks upon our earth and our world and our society these days? Will he be as deeply grieved with what he sees? It says here in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God, as it were, could no longer delight in this sinful world. There will be a moment coming soon where that is similar. That God can no longer delight in the sinful world which he once created so perfectly and so good. His holy hatred for sin and his disgust for sin was rising in Noah's day to a boiling point. How about our day? He was deeply grieved by the wickedness that people spewed out, their hearts, their thoughts, their desires, not focused on his honor, not focused on his way, not focused on his servants, not focused on obedience toward him. What about our hearts this morning? Are they focused? Are they riveted on the glory of God? Are our thoughts captivated by the Word of God, brought into obedience to the Word of God? Oh, dear congregation, what about us? What can God see? A work of grace? We should realize that before the Lord send this terrible flood of water. What was happening was that there was a terrible flood of wickedness sweeping over the earth. That was first. The flood of wickedness was first, before the flood of waters. What a world. I think we can all imagine that it is a world that was not a, Noah was not walking in for a pleasurable walk in that sense, an easy walk. And when ungodliness in the society is on the increase and darkness deepens, walking with God, at least when we want to be truly faithful, it will meet with difficulty, it will meet with opposition, it will meet with suffering. Young people, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? And have you counted the cost? Especially you. We don't know how long the earth still exists, but especially you. It's going to be a dark day to walk with the Lord. It's not easy. It's not easy. Never supposed to be easy in one way, and yet the Lord says, my yoke is easy. When we learn what it means to submit to the yoke, the light yoke of Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you sat down? Have you counted the cost? Am I going to follow Jesus? Are you following? It's worth it. It's worth it. What is more precious to know that God is with you and that God is for you? That's more precious and more valuable than anything else in this world. And to know that whatever happens to you, that all things work together for good, that for those that love God, all things must work together for good. And that eternal glory, where you will be forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has forgiven all your sins, that's worth it. That's more precious than anything you have in this world. Noah walked with God. Perhaps he walked even from the very, very young age. There was something in Lamech, Noah's father, when he held baby Noah, that gave him a name that was hopeful. Hopeful. And that shows trust in the Lord. We read that in Genesis 5:29, where he says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. So Noah means, his name means comfort. It means rest. Father Lamech trusts that God will use Noah to bring rest in a godless and a sin-cursed world with thorns and thistles as a picture of the curse. Parents, what are we looking for in our children? Career? Successful? Having enough money? Having a proper house? Or do we raise our children for the glory of God? And we express our hope in the living God and say, Lord, use my child to bring rest and comfort in a world that is full of the curse of sin. Help me to bring up my child for the glory of his holy name. And God had indeed a special plan with Noah and with his life. And when God has a special plan for each one of his people, it's not based on works. It's not based on what Noah did. It's not based on Noah's obedience, as we hope to see in a moment, that he was obedient. When God saves by sovereign grace, he takes one of those sinners out of a sinful generation, a godless society, in a world that is increasingly wicked, And then we see in this increasingly wicked that God, in his amazing grace, we read these beautiful words that God finds Noah. Genesis 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What beautiful words. This little word, but, shows society is going this way. But God takes Noah and he moves him the other way. And he gives him grace. And he starts walking with him. Out of sheer grace, not because of anything in Noah. And now God says, as it were, I mark this one for myself. I set him apart because I look upon him with grace, not according to his sins, not according to his wicked heart. I set him apart from the rest of this godless world. Isn't that beautiful? It's God. God only should get the glory. Noah, though he should have been carried away, as could have been carried away, rather, by everything around him, carried away with this wicked world, with this punished with this flood, knows God says, I'm going to save this one. That's God's sovereign grace. He still does it. Sovereign grace. God looking down in mercy. God looking down in grace. There's nothing to earn God's favor. Not for Noah, not for you and me. When God does according to our sins, when he looks into our heart, he says, no one is good. We have all sinned. We all fall short of his glory. Just like Noah. When he sees the corruption of our heart, he cannot. He must show us grace, or otherwise we will be swept away with his judgments. So even though God is planning to destroy this world, this first world, with water, he saves Noah. Because from eternity, God loved Noah. And he brought him to himself by saving grace, by true faith in the coming Savior. God is gracious. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, can be gracious for the wickedest, most wicked of sinners and set them apart for himself, like Noah. Finding grace in God's sight. Because what? Why can the eyes of the Lord be upon Noah in grace? Because God turned away his eyes from his only beloved Son on the cross, turned it away, and gave him the wrath, the judgment that Noah deserved. That's why he can turn his eyes and look with love upon a sinner. Only therefore. Paul says it, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What a glorious gift. What beautiful and precious words. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was set apart. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Have you seen the desperate wickedness of your heart? Have you seen that if the Lord is not gracious towards you, you would run with this world headlong into wickedness and headlong to hell? Have you seen it? Have you confessed it to the Lord? Have you cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Has Christ become necessary to you? Has he become precious to you? Oh, young people, don't let counting the cost delay Flee. Don't think that another day, a little bit more of this world, do you think that if you drink a little bit more of the world, that then you have more desire to go to the Lord Jesus and to need the Lord Jesus? It's the opposite. Seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Ask for His grace and mercy. Noah was a man, it says in our text, just man and perfect. But we need to realize that this came before it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then it can be said of Noah, and then it can be said of sinners. They are just justified by the grace of God freely, sheer grace. That's what it means to walk with the Lord. That God is for us. God is now pleased with us through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And now we have a relationship with Him, and He covers over all our sins. And we learn to trust Him, to open up our heart. Why? Because He opened up His heart to us. He showed His amazing grace and love to us first. We love Him because He loved us first. And Noah was perfect. His heart was purified by grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he became upright. That's what it means. Not sinless. It means that he desired now to walk sincerely, wholeheartedly, dedicated with the Lord, to the Lord, for His glory. Beloved, can we say that of ourselves this morning? Perhaps you need to say, Lord, take my hand. Teach me to walk, or carry me. Second thing here is Noah was obedient in a disobedient society. When we walk with others, we are influenced. We are influenced by others. We talk with others. We think with others. We just as we are walking in this world, we can be influenced with what the world is thinking, and the world is telling us. We cannot go out of this world, nor should we. But there's only one way in which we can stand in this world, walk in this world, without being swept away by all the ideas that are and principles that are out there. How? Well, to walk with the Lord. To be close to Him, to listen to Him, to listen to His words, to His encouragements, to His warnings. To lean upon His Word. To know the mind of God, which He reveals to us through His Word and Spirit. And in a state of society as Noah's, much like our society, where verse 11 tells us the earth was also corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence, how we need this, a walk with the Lord. There was murder, there was bloodshed in those days. We think about what's happening in our society with abortion and euthanasia. The love of many must have grown cold. The world full of strife and envy. A world spoken with tongues set on fire by hell. People sinning and looking for sin 24/7 in Noah's day. And yet, Noah was different. Because Noah walked with God and he was dedicated to God by grace. He's in this world, but not of this world. That's possible. It's still true today. To keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Now, it should not surprise us the fact that Noah walked with God meant that he stood out in society. Children, what do you think? What do you think of that they said about Noah when they looked at Noah? All those other people. Noah? Weird person. All those people were living for themselves, throwing away authority, not listening to God. And then here is someone who wants to obey God. One desire, obey God. God gives Noah a commandment. What was the commandment that Noah had to do? God says in Genesis 6, verse 14 through 16, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then the Lord shows exactly what it needs to look like. And Noah obeys. So children, what does God ask? Make a huge boat. A huge boat. Why? Because God told him so. Why? Because God showed him what was coming. The flood was coming. Why? Because the earth was full of wickedness. Now was there evidence of a great clouds forming? Evidence for the fact that God was going to send a flood? Could you see it already? No. It was God's word that Noah trusted. Why did Noah obey then? Because he believed God's word. He trusted in his word. Did it make sense to the people around him? No, absolutely not. Children, can you imagine that when the people saw Noah started to build an ark on dry ground, no threatening clouds whatsoever, they must have thought that Noah lost his mind. Weird, not just a little weird. Here we see that Noah operated by principles and ideas that were different from the world around him. He trusted in God's word. We see it in verse 22. Thus did Noah, the last verse of our chapter, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And then the huge ark is finished in the next chapter. God brings all the animals in and he finally also brings Noah in, two by two. Genesis 7 verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Genesis 7 verse 9, and God had commanded Noah. Genesis 7 verse 16, another time, obedience. Well, the whole world was departing from the Lord and his commandment. The whole world was characterized by sin and rebellion and disobedience. Noah's life is characterized by obedience to the word of God. Beloved, how many of us can say that honestly this morning? Or do we need to hang our head in shame this morning? Can we say, my life is characterized by obedience to the word of God? Even when people think I'm strange and it doesn't make sense to them. Lord, write the law upon my heart. Those 10 commandments. Write them upon my heart. Give me obedience. Teach me, Lord, to think in a way that is pleasing to Thee. Oh, Lord, forgive my sin. Oh, Lord, hear my cries. Make me willing. Make me obedient. Make me like Christ. Is that your prayer? Make me willing to go when I hear in the word, go. Make me willing to listen to Christ who gave us that great commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. He will walk with you. I will walk with you, Jesus says, till the end of the earth. Always, I am with you. And if you know that He's with you, even when obedience doesn't make sense to others, we need to follow. We need to follow. When we are in difficult circumstances and we walk with a friend, what do we want? Yes, we want to be encouraged, but we also want honesty. Honesty. If something is wrong in our lives, we need to allow others to tell us honestly. We sang from Psalm 141, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." Noah was a preacher, walked with God, and was called to do what? To be a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2 verse 5 tells us that. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Not only was he obedient, but he was also a preacher of righteousness. Children, do you always find it easy to tell the truth? I don't think so, right? Sometimes it's difficult. Why? Because of our sinful heart. Do you think Noah would find it easy to tell the truth? I trust he wanted that with all his renewed heart. Would it be easy for Noah to tell things that other people would oppose or mock him for? But what was his task? To be honest, to tell the truth about the coming flood, about a flood, God's judgments. Because if Noah would not tell it, who would? And worse, if he would not tell, they would all perish. But Noah, in his day, not many would listen to the warnings and to the encouragements and the invitations of the gospel, just like our day. The Lord Jesus uses Noah as an example and his ark to warn us to be ready for his second coming. And it shows that people before his second coming are ignoring the voice of Christ. And if they are not ready, they will perish. It says in Luke 17, "And it was as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." It's time to awaken. If you don't know Christ yet, my friend, it's time to awaken from your sleep. It's time to wake up and do what we are called to do as Christians. To walk with the Lord, close to the Lord, and know His favor and His smile upon us. To cry out for more of the power of the Holy Spirit. Noah and we have a task in this world to preach righteousness, to speak it, to live it, to show it to other people, to tell other people that God is coming with His judgments over sin and sinners will perish eternally. That's not a popular message. Just as Noah called out, "Water is coming," to his neighbors,
So we are called to say to our neighbors, fire is coming. And the real question is, do we really love our neighbors? And Lord, and if we search our hearts, I don't know about your heart, but if we search our heart, do we really love our neighbors? Love them enough to speak these things in love and truth to them, to win them for Christ, even when they would reject and mock us as we do so. We say we believe in hell. But what do our prayers say? Do we really? What does our urgency tell about our faith in God, in the gospel, in Christ, in his judgments, in this awful place where sinners go who are not saved? Does the terror of the Lord activate us? Does the love of Christ push us forward, constrain us? If you're saved, don't you want to tell others? Don't you want to say, like, look, there's an ark. Go, flee to the ark. Be saved. There's an escape in Jesus Christ. There's a place where you can hide from God's judgments, righteous judgments over your sins, from the flood of anger that is coming upon this world righteously, justly. God hates sin. Now, if there's someone among us who say, yeah, I find it so hard to talk, then I ask you, are you found on your knees? Are you found on your knees, hidden perhaps? But nevertheless, it shows that you love, it shows that you care, it shows that you plead, because there are some goers, and there are some that are hidden stayers who, like Moses, like Aaron and Hur, hold up the hands of those who go and those who speak. Are you one of them? Do you love the neighbor's souls? Oh, beloved, may the gospel make us more urgent. Look, the doors of the ark are still wide open. The arms of Christ are still outstretched for the greatest of sinners, for rebellious and gainsaying people. So speaking, people who are speaking against him, even to them. Today, we say, take refuge in Christ. If you have not found refuge yet, take refuge in the one and only Savior, in his blood, in his righteousness. In him you are saved. In him, just as Noah was in the ark, so in him, through faith, you're protected from the floods of God's wrath over your sinfulness. Only through faith in Christ we are protected. It's said by Isaiah, probably he was reflecting on the flood, that a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. A safe place, a hiding place, protected from the wrath of God. That's the ark, that's Jesus Christ. Young people, are you safe in the ark of Jesus Christ? Children, have you run to this ark already? He covers with the blood of Jesus Christ and covers our lives from the wrath of God. Seniors among us, are you hiding in Jesus Christ? Only then we will be able to face death, although it's an enemy, the last enemy and a dark enemy. Only then we will be able to face death without fear. There's an open door. There's an open door. You have heard so many times about this open door in your life. Some of you have not come. Some of you have not fled for refuge to this beautiful name given under heaven by which we must be saved, the name Jesus Christ, the Ark. Come to the Ark. You have never cried out for God's grace. Oh, how desperate when one day your vain dreams, whatever you hold on to, your sins, and you would wake up forever in the wrath of God. Oh, it's the right thing. God is just. God is holy. God has knocked on your heart over and over and over. Just like the hammer of Noah when he was building. Every knock was a knock on the hearts of the people who were around there. God has been so patient. 370 years, if I'm correct, he built on this ark. Or 120 years, rather. He built on this ark. Knocking. 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 You have heard the sound of the gospel. Or are you one of those who just continue to eat and drink and be merry? Do your own thing. Don't try to drown out the calling of the gospel with the noise of the things, your own desires, the noise of the world around us. Because there will be a day that the door to this ark, that the door to Christ is shut too late. Genesis 7 verse 16 tells us the Lord shut Noah and his children and his family as well as the animals. He shut him in. The Lord himself closed that door of the ark behind Noah. And so it is again. One day the Lord himself will close the door toward Christ, toward heaven, toward eternal life, and then it's too late. Too late. For many, yes, for all, except those 8 souls in the ark. It was too late that day. Lost. And the wrath of God in the flood. Flee. Flee for your life. If any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Paul said, cursed. Maranatha, he wrote then. Jesus Christ is coming. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And he will destroy this world with fire. Noah continued hammering until the day he went in. And then the deep was broken up. So probably the magma came. The water came. The water level was rising and rising above the mountains. Everyone in the ark was safe. Everyone in Christ will be safe. Everyone outside of the ark will have to appear before the judge of heaven and earth. This is the gospel. This is the righteousness that God has revealed. The righteousness in Jesus Christ and the wrath of God over sin for those who disobey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we ashamed of this gospel? Are we ashamed to start building on dry ground? Are we disobedient to the call of the gospel? Start building. Build an ark. Or do we say, Lord, teach me to build. Teach me to hide first. And then teach me to win my neighbor for Christ. In prayer, maybe an invitation to this one or that one to listen in. But also in the way we live. Noah walked with God. Noah talked with God. And he entered into the ark, protected, and exited the ark again, while the ungodly and disobedient world perished. For 2 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Solemn words, but also joyful words for those who are in Christ Jesus. Kept safe. 370 days in the ark, waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for a new world. Do you see that, children? He sends out a raven, Noah does. He sends out a dove, waiting for a better world, desiring to be set free, desiring to enter a cleansed world. And his hope wasn't ashamed. That's the fourth thing here. Noah practiced faith in a renewed world. And so when we learn to walk with God through our hope, through faith in Christ, we'll never be ashamed. Just like Noah's wasn't. When you and I are waiting for a new world upon which righteousness dwell, we will one day enter such a world. We will one day walk with the Lord in His very presence. Hebrews tells us that this is all happened because he was walking with God, and it means that he walked by faith and not by what he saw, not by sight. For without faith, beloved, it is impossible for us to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." It's faith that moves us to actions that the world doesn't understand. Walking with God means walking by faith in a better future. By faith, sinners become heirs of a new world, heirs of a world upon which righteousness dwells. So the waters, children, were going down and down and down, subsiding. The mountains became visible again. And finally, Noah can leave the ark. And Noah can enter into a new world. Just like a second Adam, right? A new world. The first Adam fell into sin, and now Noah may start over, and the Lord has cleansed this whole world. And Noah's new beginning is very promising. We read in chapter 8, verse 18, that Noah exits the ark with his family, and the first thing he does, what? 8, verse 28, "And Noah built an ark, an altar unto the Lord." That's what it means to walk with the Lord. You're thankful. You've been saved by grace through faith. And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And so you want to build an altar. You want to sacrifice. You want to worship. You want to please Him. And as He gives His promises and He makes a covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ with you, you want to sacrifice to the Lord. Genesis 8, verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for my man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." God gives him worship. He builds an altar. And God gives him a sign of a covenant. Children, you know that sign, right? We see it once in a while. A bow in heaven. Not a bow to shoot in wrath, but a bow of beautiful colors of God's grace, showing God is faithful, giving his promises. Not this way anymore. Not by water. We see worship. We see his dedication. We see what it means to walk with the Lord. You want to be thankful? Is that your desire too? Thankful for such a deliverance from the wrath of God. Dedicated to the Lord. Wanting to lean on these beautiful promises. Entering into a new world as a new creature. What a bright future, we would say for Noah. What a blessing to enter in such a world. And indeed, it was a blessing. It was a marvelous blessing. But Noah is not the real second Adam. Noah is not Christ. Noah is not Jesus. Noah reminds us over and over of the Lord Jesus Christ. He points us, the ark that he built points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in a marvelous way, in a beautiful way. And yes, Noah enters this world with faith and thankfulness. Although Noah is the heir of God's gracious promises and he is blessed in worshiping the Lord, Noah is not our Savior. And this new world is not the new heavens and the new earth upon which righteousness dwells. Because we look in chapter 9 for a moment, we get a glimpse of the indwelling power of sin also in Noah. He gets drunk. He embarrasses himself before his sons. Noah entered into a renewed world. But Noah's heart needed to be fully set free from remaining in indwelling sin, and that only can happen after death. Noah's world is still a sin-cursed world, just like ours. Just in the one in which we live. And our hearts are not fully perfected yet. When we are saved by grace, there needed to be a sacrifice. And there needed to be a better sacrifice, Jesus Christ. There needed to be a better Noah, someone who can truly bring rest and comfort. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. How? Through Jesus. Through that new world upon which peace and righteousness dwells. The one who is the second Adam. The one who has promised through his covenant blessings. That promise at that first Lord's Supper, I will drink of this cup one day with you, new in my Father's kingdom. There, that new world that he promises, which God's children one day will enter, there we may finally be drunk with the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's safe to drink deeply from the love of Christ. Already now we have foretaste, but then we will be filled with all the fullness of God and all the peace of God and the righteousness of God, and we will have a world of love. And we will drink from the glories of the Savior. The Savior who walked this earth with his father, the better Noah. And there in that world where we will see him as he is,
It will be like him. There will be no more curse. There will be no more sin. There will be no more shame. There will be no more disobedience. There will be only eternal joy. There will be Christ all in all. And when you and I walk with God like Noah, trusting in the safety of God's provision in Christ, God's ark, that world is our destination. That's where this walk with God leads us. And each one who trusts in Christ will be arriving safely. God cares for it. There's still room. There's still room in the ark. Also this morning, there's still time to learn to walk with God in a godless society. Come, let him teach you about his grace that enables us to walk with a clean conscience in a godless society, about his empowering spirit that can teach us to obey in a disobedient society, about his plan to warn and to pray and to speak to others of the need of the gospel, righteousness in Jesus Christ to escape sin and death and hell, about living by faith in a better world. All these things he can teach us at the school of Jesus Christ. The door is still wide open. Enrollments are still taken. So that you learn to look for a better world where we will be forever perfectly serving him. So are you walking with God? Walking with God? Are you trusting in Christ? The door is still open. Flee from the wrath to come if you're still outside of Christ. He's the door. He's your salvation. He's the only one who can save you to the uttermost. Look to him, and you will not be ashamed. And child of God, take these days with so many troubles and trials and so many distractions. Take them. Meditate on that glorious new world upon which righteousness dwells, and in which Christ will be all in all, and in which you will be with him. That's your destination. That's where your walk with Christ will bring you. He will bring you all the way home. Amen.